guys ready? Good evening. I'd like to call the meeting of the Town of Discovery Bay CSD to order. Thank you for coming. Would you join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Carol, would you call the roll?
President Simon?
Here.
Vice President Graves?
Here.
Director Pease?
Here.
Director Steele?
Here.
Thank you. I would open the floor for public comment. During public comment, the public may address the board on any issue within the district's jurisdiction which is not on the agenda. The public may comment on that item at the time the agenda item is called. There will be no dialogue between the commenter and the board, and you have 3 minutes. Is there any public comment? No public comment? I'll close public comment. Thank you. Presentations? Rick?
None this evening.
Sheriff, is there AJ is here? I saw that. Come on up, AJ. Thank you. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
She counted this time, so okay, hold it.
Send those down to Carol.
Thank you.
I know you guys are busier on my street at 3 o'clock in the morning the other night.
Yes. It's definitely summertime, and we're seeing an uptick in the same things that we always see upticks in. Alcohol-related issues, we're seeing, I don't want to call it an uptick, but fairly steady in the property crimes. The difference is now, though, instead of, from what we can tell, instead of outsiders committing the property crimes, it's local because they know when people are out of town. I think there are 6 residential burglaries last month, and all but one of them, people were out of town for at least a weekend, if not longer. So generally speaking, out of towners wouldn't know that. But also, kids are out of school, and unfortunately, that seems to be the trend. We do have a couple of leads on those cases. The most significant thing I wanted to point out was, I'm sure you've heard, the theft of catalytic converters, or attempted theft of catalytic converters. We've had a rash of them out here. Every single case were Dodge pickups. So, I put some flyers back on the board back there. What we're recommending, we have a Dodge, especially if it's lifted in any way, it makes it easier to slide under, that you, if you're handy with a welding torch and all that stuff, do it yourself. Otherwise, take it to a muffler shop. It's one of the catalytic converters held on with just like 4 bolts. So a quick 4 bolts gone, your catalytic converter's gone. All the other Ford and Chevy, a little more intricate. So we're recommending that people take it to a muffler shop, have at least those 4 bolts welded. They also make a conversion kit. We researched about $200 that attaches over the catalytic converter and then is welded to the frame, which then means it's virtually impossible to get off your vehicle. So it'll act as a good deterrent. So we're recommending that people look into those as options.
What year Dodges are they?
I apologize, I don't have the years of Dodges. I didn't get the vehicle list. My staff just pointed out that they're all the older ones are probably okay. I think they're all the newer ones. The current value of the metal that's in the catalytic converter is about $200, and the catalytic converters themselves are worth about $3,000. Keep in mind, though, in California, it's illegal to sell a catalytic converter that's not from the factory. So if you go to your body shop and they say, yeah, I've got one, and I can put it on, I'll sell it to you for $2,000. Price is too low, and the body shop shouldn't have them. They're back ordered. Dodge can't even get them. So if your body shop has them, be a little wary of that. So
might be yours.
Yeah, might be yours. So anyway, if you own a Dodge or you own a friend who owns a Dodge, you're thinking of buying a Dodge, I put some flyers back there with some hints on what to do. And other than that, a lot of the things alcohol related, we're starting to get more domestics and things like that. People drinking too much. But that's, I guess, par for the course when it gets to be summertime. So.
I, for one, would like to commend you because we had a wild party on our street the other night at one. I called a direct number. They came out. The only mistake I made was asking them to call me and let me know the outcome, and I forgot I did that because I went back to sleep.
See, and they woke
and he called
up,
me at 3:15.
Yeah, sorry about that.
But it was great.
We tried to offer that level of service. So.
They were out immediately.
I will pass the word along. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other questions? Anybody? Residents? AJ, thank you. Have a nice one.
Thank you.
You too.
Be safe. Thank you.
We have no other agencies out.
No, we have Officer.
There we go. Oh, CHP. I forgot you. We're not used to seeing you.
Sorry, this last couple months, this day of the week is hard for me to get out here, but I have the stats for June. There were 3 DUI arrests here in Discovery Bay in the month of June. 2 of them were in the lakes. One was out of a crash and one was out of a stop for someone running a stop sign. There were 4 traffic collisions that we investigated here in Discovery Bay. And all the rest of them I had to research specifically. They were listed as Discovery Bay, but they weren't. They were just, on the outskirts of Vicksburg, Byron, and so on. I don't really have anything else to report. There's a ton of citations that we're writing out here. Myself, Officer Thomas, and Officer Taylor just transferred back in from Tracy, and they're tearing it up out here. So, a lot of better.
Can you let us know where those areas are that you're monitoring? No, we really.
You can't miss us.
What areas are you?
Is it speed?
It's speed and stop sign, but mostly speed. The usual places: Newport, Clipper, the stop sign here, Little Lake, and Discovery Bay, and here also around the corner. But. The big thing right now with the summertime is, just like the lieutenant mentioned, is the alcohol-related stuff. The one in the lakes just a couple weeks ago was a big fiasco. There was a guy in a Mustang that drove up onto someone's lawn, broke all the sprinklers, and ran into their inside of their house. And I think he was only 19 years old, if I'm not mistaken. And he had been cited by Officer Thomas the day before on the bypass for 103 miles an hour.
Wow.
So, he's a resident of Discovery Bay and has not learned. So he ran from the scene, but he was caught a short time later. So
we know what he's doing this weekend.
Yeah. So
what phone number do you call if you see a dangerous driver? Should I call the sheriff's?
If it's a drunk driver.
Today I saw a drunk driver. I followed him home.
If it's a drunk driver, then that's a 911 call, and then you just give your location and vehicle description, and they will tell you to stop following.
Yep, they don't follow home.
But a drunk driver is not one call. If it's just somebody who's driving reckless in burnouts, a one-time thing, then you just call our main number at the office and we'll take you to travel the plane.
Do you have anything special planned for the 4th of July weekend? Checkpoints or?
We do not have a checkpoint tomorrow. I want to say they're trying to scramble at the last minute to get one for this weekend. But we do not have one planned for tomorrow. There are 13 CHP officers working day shift tomorrow, which is a lot more than usual, and then I want to say there's about the same number on swings. So there should be 2 CHP officers out here, so it'll be tomorrow on days and swings.
Okay.
So we'll be around. And,
any public comment? Thank you very much.
I will be here next month.
I look forward to it. Thank you.
Officer Brewer, before you leave, next month's meeting, just to give you a heads up, is on Tuesday instead of on Wednesday the 16th. Also, AJ, that'll be good for you. We'll send you notice and just give you a heads up in advance.
Boss?
Okay, great.
It doesn't come to that meeting. It comes to the one on the...
That's right. Well,
never mind. That's not the one you come. You come to the first meeting, not the... That's the second meeting. No one effect.
So the first meeting is the same time?
Yes,
in August is set.
Okay.
Thanks.
See you then.
Nobody here from fire. Nobody from the supervisor people. And we will move on. Committee reports. We have transplant. No county planning. Code enforcement. Do we have any code enforcement activity?
I was unable to make the meeting at the last minute.
Okay. The ECC FPD meeting was canceled for last Monday, so there wasn't one.
Okay, we will move on yet again. Consent calendar. Can I get a motion?
Move approval.
Can I get a second?
Second.
I'm not sure which one of you first and second.
I think it was the first and second.
Any comment? Move board? Residents? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Let's move to new business. Consideration of supplemental environmental protection project pertaining to the state regional water quality. This will be you. public, I'm assuming.
Yep, thank you, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public. This item is before you this evening to get your feedback and discussion and hopefully to have you approve the district entering into a supplemental environmental project involving the district's wetlands project. If you recall, that's a project that we partner with University of California, Berkeley on. This came about as a result of fines that the district was imposed, that was assessed, mandatory minimum penalties on two different, nine individual instances at two different times, if you will. So there were nine fines assessed between March 1st, 2013 and April 11th, 2013. And there were also nine fines assessed back in March of 2011 and shortly after that. So what ended up happening is we were fined nine times. The earlier violations were as a result of the weirs being out of balance. You recall we've had this discussion previously. And so we were fined $27,000 for mandatory minimum penalties on that. Just recently, earlier this year, back in March, we were again fined nine times for nine mandatory minimum penalties. Those fines took place and were as a result of, I will attribute it to operator error in the sense that Veolia was in the process and was in transition between their project managers. Veolia has paid fines the $27,000. So those were not out of the district's funds. They've actually already reimbursed us for those. So we owed $54,000 to the state, and the state allows you to have a supplemental environmental program where you can mitigate part of those fines if they accept a project that is environmentally sensitive and meets the requirements of the SEP program. But for the fact that we have the University of California project here, we would not have a SEP program. We could still participate in one, but we would have to give the money to another public agency somewhere in the state. And so I'm going to let Gregory Harris, our district engineer, kind of give you an overview of the SEP program and how it works and what our project is with the state of California, respective to UC Berkeley.
Good evening, Gregory Harris, Herbert Engineering, and as Rick pointed out, we're on the hook for some fines, and those are mandatory penalties. They're not negotiable. They have to be paid, but they have an out for this environmental program. It's designed to encourage public agencies to maybe leverage those dollars into other public benefit besides simply handing it over to the Regional Water Quality Control Board. So. The law requires that some portion is handed over to the Water Quality Control Board, but the first $15,000 and half of the remainder can go towards an environmental project that qualifies. So we had a meeting with the regional board a couple weeks ago, went over and discussed different projects, and the one that stuck was continuing research by UC Berkeley out of the wetlands that was constructed by Town Discovery Bay. So as a refresher on that, you may recall several years ago, in fact 2007, the district actually constructed the wetlands at the time we were dealing with copper issues. And we were having copper violations on a regular basis. And we were under cease and desist also from the Regional Water Quality Control Board. One method of controlling copper is through plant uptake. And we constructed the wetlands to demonstrate can we remove copper to sufficient levels if we treat it with the wetlands. The result of that was yes, research showed that would work. At the same time, we managed to get our permit changed so it's not an issue for us anymore. So the issue kind of went away, but we had constructed wetlands. Since then, University of California, Berkeley has said, well, hey, you guys have this great resource. You built this wetlands. You have this water going through it right there. It's very contained, very easy for them to work on. So they have continued to get outside funding to fund themselves to do continuing research on the wetlands. So they've continued to use Breslin, and they continue to use it today. Part of that research, I think you got a copy of in your staff report. It's a presentation on some of the research they've been doing. And the latest research they're doing is a thing called endocrine disruptors. volatile organic compounds that aren't treated in a wastewater process but are now becoming important to the aquatic environment. And what these are pharmaceuticals that go in the water, they go right through our bodies, they go right through the wastewater treatment plant, and they go into the river. Well, no one used to think they were a big deal because the dilution was so high. But they start to realize it is a big deal, especially the birth control pill. It actually has turned, there are now well-documented examples where whole rivers, all the fish have gone female, not male. And it's because of the birth control pill, even in very, very small, very, very small doses, affects their biology enough that they all switch. So that got people's attention, and that got people looking at this issue. So the research that was presented in your little report, UC Berkeley is modifying the wetlands to come a way to destroy all those pharmaceuticals so they don't make it into the river and don't have those effects. That's part of the research there, and this continuing funding for them would do the same thing. It would continue research towards how to destroy pharmaceuticals and things like that that make it into wastewater that aren't treated with conventional wastewater treatment plant equipment. So we thought that was a good project because even though we got to pay the money, at least it's some homegrown stuff that we do and our name will be associated with the benefits of the project. As you can see, Town Discovery Bay is shown with the research project here as well. There are some caveats. Berkeley has to do the work, so we can't just hand them money and then not do something. And they have to provide reports to the Regional Water Quality Pro Board how they're spending the money, what the money's being spent on, things like that. So that's basically a quick rundown.
And Gregory, today I received an email from you that you had with the professor at Cal Berkeley, indicating that the state has subsequently, to the discussions, has bought off on this project.
Yeah, staff is going to recommend approval of the project. So the action tonight is the board has to approve a decision to either pay all the money to the state and be done with it, or pay the appropriate amount of money to the state and the remainder of the amount of money to UC Berkeley under the SEP program. And that's basically the decision tonight. If you make that decision, then the staff at the regional board have reviewed our proposal to them and said, okay, this qualifies, we'll support it. And essentially they're waiting on direction from our board as to our final actions.
Greg, is it possible for us, and I'm sure it is, but it would probably behoove us then to make the money that we give to them contingent upon them spending that first before they spend their grant money, so that makes sure that our money gets spent and we fulfill that requirement? Is that possible to do?
Yes. In fact, the regional board, Rick pointed out, you can finish that whole email, the regional board is requiring an MOU between us, a binding MOU between us and UC Berkeley. All the money has to be spent on the wetlands. They have a 12-month time schedule, some of the things that come in. So,
and that won't be a problem.
No. At the moment, where we are, the email we're talking about, I sent that over to Dr. Sedlak, and essentially we'll have some form of, the regional board won't buy off on it if there isn't some form of hard commitment between Berkeley and ourselves that this is how the money is spent.
Question. I kind of answered it a little bit. I was wondering how long would that $34,000 last? And you're saying they have to spend it within 12 months.
Yeah, it's basically a support grant for 12 months.
So they're roughly $3,000 a month.
Yeah. This is basically, and we're positioning it as a straight essential gift with a MOU to Berkeley to support this grad student, and they're saying it's supportive of
it. But is the 12-month period, is that a state mandate on these kinds of projects?
Well, the state wants things completed, but it also turns out that's about what you get for $34,500. That'll support a grad student for about a year. So they kind of wind up.
Okay. One of the reasons why they recommended the MOU is due to the fact that if we were to get into a contractual relationship with Cal, they have their university overhead, which is substantial, and the MOU eliminates having to pay the overhead, and the state said that they will not consider any of the overhead to be part of the value of the SEP program.
Right.
So that's why we recommended the MOU.
Right. On the understand, Viola was responsible for 50% of the fines. Is anybody else? Was this these errors that happened all on our all on the district's watch?
The Weary issue is what we are saying we're responsible for. is a result of the original construction occurred 2002, unknown defect.
Okay.
So basically, we didn't realize until, you know, 10 years later that they weren't level.
Kind of a statute of limitations, kind of. Okay, thank you.
Chris?
No.
Great. The fine was $54,000.
Right.
$27,000 is coming from Veolia, which leaves $27,000.
Right.
We're giving $34,500. Is there a reason why we're putting up another $8,500?
Well,
Veolia.
The Veolia's money, you're free to do whatever you want with. They just put it in the account.
No, it's not my question. My question is, they're paying half the fine. At $54,000, they're paying half the fine.
Right.
Which leaves $27,000 of the fine.
Right.
We're giving the state of California $34,500.
No, so, we're giving UC Berkeley $34,500.
I'm sorry,
yes.
UC Berkeley.
Okay, but
that.
Basically, the way the math works is, we have to pay somebody $54,000. You and Veolia, instead of paying the fine to state, just handed you the money.
Okay.
So now you're taking their money, adding your money, and saying, I got to give somebody $54,000. So now the question is, how do we split it up? Okay. The maximum we can give to a SEP program would be $34,500. So that's what we recommended. And then you send the remainder to the state. That's
so we're giving the state $18,500 is what we're giving?
Exactly.
Okay, that's what I thought. I was under the impression Veolia was giving the state $27,500.
No, they didn't give it to them, they gave it to you. So
part of that $34,500 is Veolia's money.
Yeah, it's in Rick's personal checking.
you're right.
The other question I have is, we've never really, I know this project's been going on a long time, we went and looked at it 5 years ago.
Yeah.
We've never really get reports from them. We don't know what we're spending our money on, basically. Without, I know they're doing great things out there, but we don't ever see it. And the fact that we're giving them money, can we get some kind of accounting for our money from them, or what they're doing with it, or what their progress is?
Certainly we can do that. Now, we have not given them any money since the original money. So that's the only money we ever gave them. Since then, they've been self-funded out there. But we certainly can give an accounting of, you know, what's gone on and what's going on out there.
Because people have actually asked them, always got
there. Yeah, you know, they've written all kinds of papers. Discovery Bay's gotten a lot of press on this. You know, in fact, we've been mentioned some very respected journals. It's very high end stuff with what's going on up there.
Maybe they could just come and give us a very brief summary of what they've done in the past and what they're looking to accomplish with this next go round. And
Were you there when he came in?
Yeah, he came here about 2 years
ago.
He came in.
Probably time again,
Director Pease wasn't there, but yeah, it is about time. And they just actually finished, and it's part of the attachment to the package this evening. They actually just recently completed a very extensive report on their latest project that they've been working
on. So the same professor is monitoring, and he's having his graduate students come and go and feeding them into the project.
So Dr. Sedlak's been involved since we built the lab.
I remember to share. Anything else to report? Public comment? Anything for the public? Can I get a motion?
Move staff recommendation.
Second.
Any other discussion? Call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Passed. Thanks, Craig. Item 2, award of contract to Vintage Contractors for the Cornell Park Pickleball Conversion Project.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. I have a feeling there's a few people in the audience here that are here for this item this evening. This is the final action of the board to complete the conversion of one of the tennis courts out of Cornell Park to a pickleball court for the community. This project was included in the 2013-14 budget. We are recommending award of the contract to Vintage Contractors this evening in the amount of $24,820. The pickleball group, and they will probably talk to it when they get up, is hosting a tournament later this month, and the contractor is going to work very diligently to have this work completed prior to that. This is a sole source contract. It's the same contractor that we utilized on the original tennis court renovations last year. We recommend using them again for a couple of reasons. One, because of the fact that they are the proprietary vendor in the area for the product that's used on the surfacing, as well as we also have warranties with them on the surfacing for the project that they completed last year, and so we want to maintain those warranties. We're happy to move this forward. If the board has any questions, we'd be sure happy to address them.
Any questions from the board?
This is the same project that we discussed at our budget review.
That's correct.
All right.
Any public comment?
Don't we, you want me to?
Come on up, Bob.
I'm Bob Lyman.
You can't say no when they get up.
Yeah. I've worked with Farron to design the thing, what she's got. There's a couple little technical things that I've sent to her that might get changed. It won't, shouldn't change the cost for the project. But we support what's been proposed and hope you move forward.
Thank you.
Any further discussion? Call for the vote.
I'll make a motion. So.
For a second?
Second.
Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Passed. Thank you.
Just to make sure that I understood, the motion is to, as recommended in the action, award the contract to Finnish Contractors in the amount of $24,820 for the pickleball conversion project and authorize general manager to execute all necessary contracts.
That's clear to me.
Great.
Leaving our motions.
No, I'm sorry.
All right, so that passes.
I had to
okay.
Turn my key, so.
Yeah.
Move on to President's Report.
Not before we go there, I just wanted to let, before we move on to that, if I may indulge the President for a moment, report. The contractor is expected to be out there very soon, and hopefully we'll have everything up and running for your turn.
Well, that would be good, and we appreciate that, although if it slowed us down, we would just go over here to the and use the ports over here like we did before.
Okay. Hopefully we'll be ready.
But if it's ready, that's great.
Thanks for your patience, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Glad we can finally get there.
Yeah.
Finally. Director's comments, Bill, anything?
Nothing this evening.
Chris?
Yeah. So on Thursday, June 27th, I attended the Byron Union School District meeting where they approved the new superintendent of schools, Dr. Debbie Burnett. She's a very qualified individual. She's highly acclaimed with a great distinction for her experience and for her knowledge. And it looks like all the teachers are very excited. The staff's really excited to have the change come into the district. We also had our budget meeting, and it was very clear that the school district is operating in a deficit. The federal sequestration has really impacted the schools. It looks like right now they have a declining enrollment. They have about 1,640 students average, and that's they've been declining projections for the next 3 years. It looks like they're going to be in the borrowing mode in 2015-16, and so unless something changes and some major reductions, again, cash is a major concern. And it was interesting to see how they manage their finances. They've done a lot with little to nothing, and anyway, and the state keeps deferring the money they own.
Well, they've got a high-speed rail to build.
Yeah. The second thing is I attended a special meeting tonight. There is a new principal now at Discovery Elementary. Her name is Carrie Vandestar. She's a resident of Discovery Bay. She's got 9 years' experience. She comes from Cupertino School District, and again, the staff's excited for the new changes. She appears to be knowledgeable, and looks like she'll be great for the students out here. And I expressed to her the community center activities and how the town's used the gymnasium in the past, and I offered our support if she needs anything. So that's it.
Anything, Kevin?
No.
All right. General Manager.
Thank you. This evening, I have before you a draft Town of Discovery Bay personnel manual for your consideration. What I'm doing this evening is just presenting it to you. I plan on bringing it back for final adoption on August the 21st, so you get about 6 weeks to take a look at it. It's been a very comprehensive document. I've been working with a colleague of Rod's in his office over the past few months on and off working on it. What's included in the document, unless it's required by law, items that are in the document that are required by law are included in there. The things that are specific to the town of Discovery Bay, those are current existing practices. They are things that are already in place. There was a personnel manual that had been drafted a number of years back. It remained in draft form since the John Stovall period, and it was never finished, and it was brought to my attention late last year that it had never been completed, and so I wanted to make sure it got wrapped up and got done. So that's what I have for you this evening. I'm certainly available to answer any questions you may have. But more importantly, I just really wanted to give it to you to take a look at it, to read it, to comment on it, and we can discuss it more back in August.
Thank you. Any questions?
Yeah. Nope. Just a couple of comments. I wasn't here when the, the employee packages were put together, and certainly I don't want to cause any ill will or have staff feel that we're trying to take something away, but just for my benefit, when I was going through this and how much vacation you get after so many years, what your sick leave is and holidays and all those things, if possible, could you bring back to us at the August meeting a little bit of what some of the other districts offer so we can get a sense of that? Just coming from the private sector, you know, I own my own business, so I didn't take 12 sick days off a year, and I didn't get paid for 12 holidays, including my birthday, and I never got four weeks vacation. But be that as it may, if that's what the packages are, then that's what the packages are. But I'd just like to have that information so when I get questioned in the public, I have, you know, a pretty reasonable answer for them. There's my interest in one other item. It talked in there about the drug use, etc. And with all the legal or, you know, medical marijuana kinds of issues, I didn't see it in there. It probably is, but my question would be, if someone was medically prescribed to have marijuana, is that an issue that would be cause for termination?
If an employee comes to work under the influence of alcohol or drugs, whether they be over-the-counter drugs or illegal drugs, they will be dealt with accordingly. The medical marijuana issue that you raise, Rod's associate and I discussed this, and I'm looking for the language in here, and I'm having a hard time.
Well, when,
because it's 45 pages.
Yeah, that's fine.
But we'll take a look at that and go back, and if we need to tighten it down, we will do that, because it's certainly something that would be
My feeling is, just so that we're very specific, if it's actually written into the manual that way, medical marijuana doesn't qualify. It is not a...
Shouldn't.
Correct. Just so there's no problem with that, then that... I think would satisfy my question on that.
With respect to that issue, we're advising most of our clients with respect to this issue right now that it's no different than a prescription drug that otherwise causes sleepiness, delusions, you know, Vicodin, oxycodone, things like that. To be treated as a prescription drug, and be treated in the same manner.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, but I think just due to the notoriety that the words medical marijuana has received, if we had that in there, I think I'd be more comfortable.
Yeah, I would agree with Bill completely as far as getting us comps, and I mean from smaller jurisdictions like ours. I mean, 2 weeks off for sick leave, 4 weeks for vacation. I mean, you've got a lot of holidays in there. If that's what this is, I haven't looked all through it, but if that's what you're showing at a certain point, there's no point getting into that tonight. Let's bring back what it actually is and what our neighbors are doing.
Nothing in the document is a change from existing current policy.
Oh, well, let's take a look at it.
Yeah, we've done several of these, so she can provide what we've done for some other jurisdictions.
All right.
Districts unnamed, probably, because they're existing clients, but to the extent that they passed them, they're public documents, and we've filed those as well.
Our HR policies have been in place for, 9 or 10 years, probably, Rick?
A lot of them have been in place since the formation of the district.
Oh, okay.
If you remember, Sanitation 19 was absorbed by this district when it was created, and so any policies that were in place at that time would have been carried over to this district. However, the district formed new, and as the district developed, a number of policies were added. I know that the holiday schedule, for example, I looked at this a while back, and it was It was a number of years ago, I want to say 2003 or four, and it was the year that Ray Tedrow was president, because he had asked me the question, and I said, Ray, it was the year that you were president when it was approved. So these go back over a course of a period of years, and they were adopted incrementally at times. And so there was never any comprehensive document, if you will, where it was all encompassing.
Any public comment? Okay, so we'll bring that back. Legal counsel?
Just let me ask a quick question. How many vineyards are in there in the year for our staff?
26.
Okay. Legal?
I'm sorry, I'm still reading the planning manual, trying to find that section. Nothing for me at this time.
Thank you. Any committee updates? Improvements from community center meeting, nothing. Correspondence, none. One letter from Supervisor Pifo. Public records request, none. Any future agenda items?
Right. I thought we were going to get an update on the community center.
We're getting an update on the community center tonight?
I can certainly give you an update.
Whatever the last meeting was.
As I sent an email and just have recovered the board earlier in the week, the community center, as you know, closed on Sunday at 1 p.m. The equipment has been sold. Some of it's been moved out. More of it will be moved out over the next week. The gates are open. It's open for free tennis play. People can use the facility. There's a porta potty on site, so people can use that. Tennis players that are there in the mornings or anybody during the course of the day gets service similar to like the one we have out of Ravenswood Park. The pool, sent some photos to the board earlier today. The pool is filled up. The equipment is going in. I understand the contractor will be back out on Friday to continue that work. We are cautiously hopeful, optimistic that we will be open the week of the 15th. Lifeguards are in the process of being hired. We select to get one or two more. And that whole procedure is being worked out right now and is being put in place concurrently with the construction.
Did we finalize the fees for the use of the swimming pool? I know we discussed them, but it's been finalized yet.
We discussed it. $3 a head was the number that we were using, and that was the number that staff's moving forward with. So $3 a head.
Were we offering a monthly or a weekly
not at this time.
At this point in time, it's late in the season.
All right, so we
certainly can do that if that's the board.
Well, I don't want to get into a big effort to do that at this particular time. Next year we'll have time in order to do all that and come up with swimming programs and family day packages and all those kind of things. That's fine. But
we can discuss it this evening. It's on the agenda. You can certainly have a discussion. You can take an action on it if you wanted to do that. We can certainly roll out a program like that. It wouldn't be very difficult.
Well, I was just curious how we're going to do it. So if we've agreed that $3 per person per day, regardless of if it's adult or a child, to use the pool is fine. Do you know if we will have organized swim lessons at this brief season? Or
not this year.
Okay, so just day use, come down, cool off, $3, have a happy day.
Just make a comment. I understand that the Eastep family type of a pass, and I think it was probably $120 to $150 for the summer season, and that was what they were working off of a few years ago. So that's what, 10 sessions, four people.
Whatever, yeah. Next year we'll have it all dialed in, which is fine.
Who is what time are you closing the gates at night? And who's doing it?
We close the gates at sunset. We open them when our first employee arrives on site about 6:30 in the morning, and we shut them down at sunset. And we are doing that with existing staff, and it's myself or Virgil or Aaron. It just depends on who's available at the time to be able to do it. But there is a schedule for it.
So if you've got somebody in the middle of a tennis game and notice it's getting dark and the lights are on for tennis, you move up.
The park hours would be sunrise to sunset, yes.
So what we would
We would let him finish their.
Why did we put money into lights?
We would let him finish their.
Why did we invest any money into fixing the lights if we aren't going to have night play?
We can have night play.
Let's see if there's facility, a desire.
If the facility was staffed in the evenings, we could accommodate that. We don't have the ability to do that. Last night we had some vandalism. Some kids broke in and jumped the fence, and they damaged the porta potty of all things. They jumped on the top of them, put a hole in the top. So things like that happen.
Do we have cameras and lighting?
No, we don't. But we're looking into them. We're lighting.
Well, I would suggest that we could bring up some of these topics at the community center committee.
Okay. How about on just a maintenance standpoint? I'm sure in-house staff is taking care of it, but you know, just policing the area after, you know, going over the tennis courts and there might be some litter or something laying around. I'm sure you've thought about that already, and it's ongoing. That just part of a daily routine, or
as part of the new budget, one of the actions that was taken by this board was to approve the addition of a new parks maintenance employee. That person is assigned that facility. He's not there all day during the shift, but he pops in there and pops out during it. You got a schedule that you must follow, and you make sure the courts are clean, you make sure that things are corrected and fixed, and that sort of thing.
All right, thank you.
Any other questions? Any public comment? Okay, any future agenda items? I'll go back to that. We have none. With that, we are adjourned. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.